Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good. Good to be with you. Hi to those who are online. Great to have you with us as well. Just before I start today with our message, I just wanted to let you all know that at the moment I am planning, on behalf of Crossway, a Bible Lands tour for next September, October. We were actually looking at doing one in March 2021, and obviously that didn't happen, and so we're pulling the trigger on that. So essentially, it's 3 weeks to Turkey, Greece, and Israel. I will be leading it. We're going to be looking at the scripture in the lands and the places and settings where it was written about. And it's super exciting and super fun to be a part of something like that. One of the most amazing things about visiting those places is not that they're magical places, but rather that once you know the place and you have been to the place, you can see it in your mind's eye as you read the Bible. So I kind of describe it as now I can read the Bible in colour for the rest of my life. So if that's something that you're keen or interested in finding out more about, there is no sign up yet. It will be happening sometime this week. So just keep your ears attuned, have a look at the Crossway website, and you'll be able to have a look at more details, the cost, all of that kind of thing, figure out whether it's something you'll be able to be a part of, and then you can send through an expression of interest sometime later this week. All good? Great. Nothing to do with the message whatsoever. But we're continuing on with our series, Close Encounters. And over the past few weeks, just looking at the encounters, some of the encounters that Jesus had with significant people throughout the Gospels. And so I'm just going to jump straight into it. We're going to have a look at Luke chapter 13 this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, it'll also be on screen for you. Luke chapter 13, and starting from verse 10, it says, On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from a stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what had bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. I love how Jesus, he goes in and he makes trouble. Jesus is not the polite Christian that we like to convey sometimes. He's radical. And Jesus goes into this situation specifically on the Sabbath to heal this woman. He's there in the synagogue. She's been coming, we assume, for a long time. She's been bound, the Bible tells us, by Satan, actually bound by a spirit that is causing this infirmity, that she is bent over, she can't straighten up. So there's something within her life that is completely off kilter, and it has been so for 18 years this woman's been bound. And she goes out of her way to come to a place where she should be able to find healing and fulfillment and release from her ailment. And yet what she finds is judgment. And what she finds is animosity. And each time she comes, she's coming along and receiving no help and no release and no healing ever from anyone. On this one particular day, she turns up and Jesus is there. It's a Sabbath. He's not meant to do it on the Sabbath, but he brings her healing. And in her heart, I can't even imagine really the source of joy that it would be for her to be released, to be in a situation where she could stand up for the first time, to be able to look people in the eye, to have confidence, to not be in a position where she was forced to be bowed down, but rather she could bow down to the Lord of her own free will. It's an extraordinary miracle that happened for this woman. And yet what we see is these teachers of the law starting to get grumpy with Jesus for doing it. Crazy, right? The synagogue leader says, there's 6 days that you can come for healing. Right. So why haven't you done anything on those 6 days? Why haven't you done anything to minister to this woman or release her on those 6 days? She's been bound for 18 years. You're saying she should come on one of those other 6 days? As if somehow the Sabbath is not a good time for healing? But actually, when you look throughout the Gospels, what you find is that Jesus often heals on the Sabbath, a lot. He goes out of his way to heal on the Sabbath. And I don't think it's just because he's trying to get under the skin of the teachers of the law. It's because the Sabbath is actually a time when we're meant to come to the Lord and find restoration. It's a day for restoration. It's a day for rest and stopping and worshiping, and celebrating and spending time in the presence of God. Of course it's a day for healing. Of course it's a day for restoration. And so Jesus goes out of his way through the Gospels to make sure that that's seen and understood and known. But also in Matthew chapter 12, there's this interesting conversation that happens when the disciples go and they start eating some grain off the top of the wheat. And he gets challenged. You know, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. They're harvesting on the Sabbath. They're just taking little kernels of wheat and chewing them. And Jesus says, hang on a second. The Sabbath was made for humanity, not the other way around. And then he adds this, he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus himself is in charge of the Sabbath, and he wants for these teachers of the law, these Pharisees, to understand this is a time for healing. This is the time for the goodness of God to be expressed. And this woman has come, she has a need, and so I am going to heal her. And what I love about reading the stories about healing in the Gospels is that we see the heart of God desiring restoration for people. We see the heart of God reaching out to the lost, reaching out to people who don't believe, and showing them his power and his love in equal measure through healing. And what ends up happening is that the person sees and understands that not only is God a God of power, he is also a God of love. He sees us intimately and he wants to therefore heal because he is good and he is kind. Do you know what? Jesus still heals today. He still heals by his Holy Spirit today. And I could tell you a number of stories of healings that have happened, but I'm actually going to get we're going to play a video of Sam and Steph Taylor from the Southeast Campus, and they're going to share their story so that we can hear what he's doing in our midst just over the past few weeks. Let's listen.
Hey, well, recently I found myself in really what I describe as a dark place. In fact, one of the darkest places I've sort of been before. I found myself tired, worn out, just weary from trying so hard. We always knew coming out of the COVID season, just in life in general, but as a church and as a campus and leading the Southeast Campus was going to be hard. Yeah. And I guess I was just tired from trying so hard. And in all of that, I'd kind of just sort of lost that personal connection to the Holy Spirit that I usually enjoy in my life. And it wasn't through lack of trying. I just wasn't sensing God's presence in my life the way that I would normally enjoy. And we came to this series, Times of Refreshing, as a church. And deep down, I was hoping, God, would you refresh me? Like, I don't want to just go through the motions. Would you refresh me? And Pastor Heather came out, and she was preaching this one Sunday. And just in the worship, for the first time in a long time, I actually started to encounter God's Spirit again. Mm. And there was that softness, like God was just breaking down hardness that had built up around my heart. She preached just this phenomenal message. I'm sure you heard it at Burwood East as well and online. And then after the service, I asked her to pray for me, and God started to move in my life. Well, that night I went to bed and I woke up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just remember my thoughts being on God. And normally in those moments, I'd been sort of more thoughts of despair, like, how am I going to get through this? But I actually woke up with thoughts of hope. I ended up praying in tongues, and I fell asleep. I recall praying in tongues, and the next night, instead of turning the TV on, I made an intentional decision to put some worship on, and the presence of God in my lounge room, I could connect with the Holy Spirit again. There was that refreshment I was looking forward to, and just that restoration in my soul. And you know the cool thing about it all, we were going away on a holiday the next week, and I thought that might be the place that God would restore me. But the cool thing was, he restored me and renewed my soul before I went, so we could just enjoy just an awesome family holiday. And God's just so good. He meets us right where we need him to meet us. Yeah. And he's done a wonderful work in my heart.
Yeah, he sure does. And my story is a little bit different. A couple of weeks before this had happened, I'd been really sick. Chest infection, throat infection, you name it. I kind of felt like I had it. And I was having this massive coughing fit one day. And it was so bad that I actually broke one of my ribs. Not ideal, is it? So I turned up to church on Sunday morning, ready to worship lead, nursing this broken rib. I'd had it for just over a week. And if you've ever sung a note before in your life, you know that you kind of need your lungs and that power to give you the volume. So rehearsal was a bit tough. Luckily, I had some great backing vocals to help me out there. And I'd said to them, you guys are going to have to take the lead. I can't do this. I'll just lead the congregation, you do the singing. So so that was great. And then Tim Pierce was speaking that day. So prior to the service, I was having a chat. He'd brought along Sarah, his wife, chatting with Sarah, and she asked if she could pray for me before the service. She'd noticed what was wrong. And I said to her, oh, well, kind of got 2 minutes, so if you could make it a quick prayer, that would be great. Awesome attitude, wasn't it? But she prayed, and I believed alongside her in faith. And so I jumped up on that stage, and we cracked into the service. Halfway through the first song, I realized that I had absolutely no pain whatsoever in my rib, and I was able to sing with the full force that my body would allow. So it was amazing. I immediately told the whole congregation.
Yeah, you stopped worship.
We stopped really worship. Cool. We told them, and it lifted up the faith in the room, which was wonderful. I thought, why keep that to myself, though? Because I feel like God heals people. Jesus heals people so that we can share the goodness and the grace of God and how much he loves us. So I decided to share it on social media. I don't have tens of thousands of followers, but it made an impact from that. About 5 people from the community, from our play group, or from mums from school, they contacted me wanting to know more about this God that had really changed my life. So, how good is God? All glory to him, right?
And he works in our lives so that we can tell others about it. So trust you're encouraged this morning, or as you watch this, wherever that might be.
How cool is that? Yeah. It doesn't end there. Jesus heals today. And so we've just heard a couple of stories of physical healing and also spiritual healing. What Sam experienced was very much spiritual healing. He was in a deep, dark place. He was in a dark hole. And the Lord came and met him and brought him out of that and restored him. Do you know, in this place, we hear all the time of healings happening. A couple of months ago, someone who had just been diagnosed with cancer and then they were prayed for was gone. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a story of somebody who had a bad back, and as they were being prayed for, they could literally see one of their legs grow and it straightened out the spine. Jesus heals. He heals. He heals today. He heals by the Holy Spirit today. And yet, as I stand up here and I tell you those stories, it's not enough. There are not enough. You know why? Jesus himself said to his disciples, "You will do all of these things and greater things than me." just a couple of chapters before the one that we have looked at, where this woman was healed by Jesus as she was bent over. A couple of chapters before, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 72. He sends them out two by two, and he gives them instructions, and he says to them, go out into all of these towns and don't take anything with you, and go into these houses, and he gives them all of these instructions of the way that they are to behave. But here's what he calls them to do: cast out demons and heal the sick. Preach the gospel and tell people about me. He gives them a call and he sends them out into their community and he tells them to do the very things that he was doing. He imparts his power to them. He imparts his love to them and he sends them into the world to do those things. And the wonderful thing about healing is that, yeah, it's amazing. We can be healed. We can come to Jesus and he can heal us. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, but it's not actually the point of healing. The point of healing is not that God's people would experience his love and his power over and over and over again. The point of healing is that God's people would go out into the community where people do not believe and they would experience healing. And that would show them the power and the love of Jesus and bring them to him. That is the reason healing happens. All the way through the Gospels, what happens is that the disciples and Jesus, and then into Acts, they go out into their communities, and what they're doing is they're finding people who do not believe, and those people are experiencing healing, and it's bringing them to the Lord. Our call, as Jesus encounters us, is to then take those encounters to the communities that we live in. And so, yeah, it's awesome when we hear these stories of healing, whether it's physical healing, whether it's spiritual healing. It's awesome when we hear those stories, but it is not enough. Because what we want to see is people coming to Jesus because those things are happening outside of this place. Outside of the community of God. Now, I know that there are people here today and there are people who are watching online who need healing, and we are going to have an opportunity at the end of this service for you to come forward for physical healing. The prayer team are going to come along, they're going to pray over you, they're going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to pray for those online. We're going to experience some healings today, which is awesome. I really believe that there's specifically somebody here who's had a long-term ankle condition, and the Lord wants to heal you today. How cool is that? He wants to show us his healing power, absolutely. So we're going to have an opportunity to do that today, but I do not want us to stop the story there. Because in this story where Jesus came and he met this woman who was bent over, bound by Satan, bent down with no ability to cause her own body to function in the way that she needed it to. Bent over and crippled. He brings healing to her because her infirmity was obvious. But she was not the only one bent over. The teachers of the law that day were bent over. They were bent down and they were bound. They were being held in captivity by Satan. They were bent over as well. The problem was they didn't recognize it. See, when she came into their midst, their call and their duty was to respond with the love and the power of God. Their call and their duty was to bring good news, to bring literally gospel to her. And yet they didn't realize they were bent over. They were being held captive. They were bound from doing what they had been called by God to do. And then when I look at them, I'm forced into a situation where I have to look at me and I have to look at us. Why is it that we don't hear about more healings? Why is it that we don't hear about more miracles? Why is it that Jesus can say, I'm going to send you out, 72, and he sends them out and they come back and they're casting out demons and they're healing people in his name? Why is it that all the way through Acts we can read about the apostles going out into pagan areas and healing people and seeing miracles done in the name of Jesus? And yet when we God's people, 2,000 years later, are filled with the Spirit of God, the stories are so few. Why is that? Is it because we're bent over and we don't even know it? Is it because we're bent over and bound and we're not even aware of it? Now, I had a conversation with a friend of mine a few days ago, and I don't know quite how we got onto the topic, but she talked about it. She said something about how some Jehovah's Witnesses had come and knocked on her door. And I said, oh, yeah, that happened a few weeks ago for me, and I hid. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, I hid and pretended I wasn't at home. And she said to me, really? She goes, so what was the reason for that? She goes, was it like fear of man or, you know, fear of talking to them, or is it just that you couldn't be bothered? And I said, no, I just couldn't be bothered having a conversation. And her response was this. She says, yeah, gosh, God's people, what is wrong with us? She goes, really, in reality, we're just lazy. We just don't care. Now, she used the word we, but in reality, what she was doing was giving me a massive slap, right? She's going, you are lazy and you don't care. Good friend, right? Here's the thing. Yes, good friend. We all need someone who's prepared to tell the truth. What does it look like to be bent over and bound as a person of God, as a follower of Jesus? It looks like that. It's complacency. I don't care enough. I can't be bothered having that conversation. Maybe that's because I'm bent over and bound. What does it look like to be bent over and bound? It looks like cowardice. It looks like being in the lunchroom at work or having a conversation with somebody and they bring up something that is a perfect opportunity for us to speak into and to start to talk about Jesus, and we don't. That's what being bent over feels like. What does it feel like to be bent over and bound? It feels like fearing what people will think constantly. It feels like being in that situation where you're so intimidated about your faith that you would never say it publicly or declare it publicly, even though something within you has such a hunger and such a desire to be that person who would have the boldness and the courage to do it. It's this war within the spirit where you feel like it, within yourself, I so desperately want to follow the call of God that he has for my life, but I cannot do it. I am bent over. I am bound. And I believe that a number of us in his church, a number of us at the moment are bent over and bound, and we do not even know it. And the Lord wants to bring release, spiritual healing for us today. And the way that it happens is that we come before him, we at least recognize what the issue is, and we confess before him. And you know what? He is faithful to forgive us. And then what we do is we ask him for release from the plans of the enemy to bind us and keep us from the things of God. We ask for a fresh anointing so that we can do what he has called us to. And then we recognize that we have been called as God's people to stand. To stand. If you want to have a look in Ephesians chapter 6, and starting from verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you might be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. To stand. You see, the Lord, when we come to Him and we ask for His anointing, when we ask for a fresh release and we ask to be catapulted into His call, we say to Him, I come to You, I want to be released of the plans of the enemy to stop me doing what You have called me to do. We literally repent. We change our mind and we say, I want to follow You and obey You and live in obedience to You. I want to be in those situations where somebody is bound, where somebody has an infirmity, and I want to pray and I want to see Your Holy Spirit heal that person because I was courageous enough and I stood in the authority that has been given me by Jesus. And that person got to see His power and they got to see His love, and that gave them a pathway to find Him. I want to be that person, Lord. Jesus calls us to stand. He also calls us to kneel. But He will never force us to bend down. He will never force us. Only the enemy does that. Jesus calls us to stand strong in the power of His might. Do you know what this woman did after she was healed? She stood. Do you know what healed people do after they've been crippled? They stand. Do you know what happens when the Lord comes and He empowers us and He shows Himself to us and we have an encounter with Him and a restoration by His grace? We stand. And then we live in a life of obedience to Him, standing strong in His authority with confidence and faith that comes from Him supernaturally. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. And as we finish the service, I am going to invite two groups of people, and online this is for you as well, two groups of people to come down. Firstly, those who need physical healing. And as you come down the front, we're going to sing a song of worship. And as you come down the front and just stand somewhere across here, I'm going to ask for you to put your hand in the air if you're here for physical healing. Okay? Pop your hand up in the air, because the prayer team are going to get anointing oil and they're going to walk along and they're going to pray for you for physical healing. But I'm also going to invite anyone who needs to be released from the plans of the enemy. When I gave those scenarios of what it is to be bent over and bound, you thought to yourself, that's me. I've been bent over. I've been bound. And I need to be released. I need to be anointed for the things that God has called me to. And I need a fresh start. I need to confess. I need forgiveness. And I need a new start to walk in obedience to the Lord in the world that I live, not in the safety of the church, but in the world that I live, to bring the good news of Jesus to the people around me, to step out in courageous faith, to stand up, to pray bold prayers, and to expect to see miracles and healings the way that Jesus told us we would. And if you are somebody who feels like you have been bent over and bound and you need that release, I'm going to invite you to come forward as well and just place your hands out and surrender to the Lord. The prayer team are going to come along and they're going to pray that release and that fresh anointing over you as we sing. But before we do that, we collectively in the room are going to join our faith together and pray for those online who need to experience healing. If you are watching online, I'm going to ask you, if you're looking for physical healing, I'm going to ask you to actually place your hand on the area that needs physical healing. And we are going to join our faith together and pray for you right now. So let's do that, church. Jesus, I thank You that You heal. You don't leave us where we're at. But we understand, Lord, that You are so much more intentional about our spiritual healing and our connection with You than You are about making sure that our bodies work correctly. And yet, Lord, You still see past that and You see the infirmities that we bring to You. And today, as Your people, we join our faith together and we pray for those people who are watching online today who are joining in with this service, who need your healing. We thank you that you desire to meet them. We thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you are able to be with them right where they are. So I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would fill that room, that you would fill that space where they are watching and listening right now. I pray that your power would come upon them in the name of Jesus. I pray for release. I pray for wholeness. I pray for healing. You say in your word, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. And so I pray that over my brothers and sisters who are watching today, you bring a healing power to them right now, Lord God. Make miracles happen in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you are doing and what you will do. Lord, for those of us here, I pray that you would give us the courage to respond to what you are saying to us as well. In Jesus' name. Okay, church, so as we sing, you come and have someone pray for you. If you need physical healing, hand in the air. If you're there for fresh anointing, just place your hands out in front of you.